Hi.
Hi.
See, I'm gonna get rid of my crazy background. That was from another day.
That was almost as much sigh as hello, Gail.
I'm tired.
Is that a you people again sigh?
Yeah, well, I'll leave the background. Maybe it'll be inspirational.
That is pretty.
It is. Pam, what are you in San Francisco?
I think I'm in San Francisco, where it's not raining maybe right now.
Just foggy. Well, shall we start?
Sounds good.
Whenever you're ready.
Okay.
Sure.
I'm ready. I will. So let's call this meeting to order. This is Commissioner Loring. At the moment, we do not have Commissioner Lindstrom. And we are going to move ahead with the budget. Ms. Lindstrom has been able to participate in helping prepare it or review it quite a bit as part of the Finance Committee, along with Commissioner Clary. So there, she's had that opportunity, and we expect her to join us at some point during this meeting. In the meantime, why don't we go ahead and get started? I note that the public comment is the third bullet. Do others have any desire to hear that before or after we have the conversation? I think after probably makes a lot of sense on this one, just because we'll be talking about budgetary stuff and people may not be prepared to comment at the beginning. Okay, seeing some nodding around the virtual room.
I'm good with doing it at the end after we've gone through it, unless someone has a compelling reason they want to speak beforehand.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Sounds good. Sounds good. I think I forgot for us to take roll call. So, Mr. Butler, if you wouldn't mind doing that, that'd be fantastic.
Sure. Let's see. Commissioner Clary.
Present.
Commissioner Lehman.
Present.
Commissioner Lindstrom is absent. Commissioner Lachine Seitz.
Here.
Commissioner Loring.
Here.
Additionally, we have Pam Hutchins, Superintendent Hutchins.
Present.
And I'm Nathan Butler. So 4 out of 5 commissioners accounted for.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Butler. And we have a pretty streamlined agenda tonight. It looks like we should just jump right in to talk about the budgets. And so I will hand it off at this point. The first one we have to discuss is the public hospital district budget. And then we will be talking about the emergency medical services one after that for 2021.
All right. Thank you. This is Pamela Hutchins, the superintendent of the San Juan County Public Hospital District number 1. And I'm talking about our budget for on levy 1 for the hospital district. I sent out it's just a 2-page budget for the public hospital district. It's simple. I left the beginning cash pretty much like we had last year. We have pretty much the same expenses and all going into the end of the year. So I like to go down and be conservative on that number. And then the county will in March or April give us that final beginning cash number that we adjust our budgets with. Our property tax revenues, we have a permanent tax levy, so we go up 1% each year. This number is a little bit more than 1% because I get the numbers from the tax assessor's office of John Colseth. The tax assessor sends out the information for this, and the new construction and things were a lot higher this year. We also had more leasehold tax and we got more in. So it's a little bit more than 1% as he did the numbers from what our actual budget was, our actual levy number, property tax number that came in. And then you can see as we go down the 2 red portions, those are the new HRSA planning grant and the new care coordination grant that we just received in September and October. So we put those in here. They get assigned their own bar number for for the revenue, and then down in the expenditures, there are different categories of expenses for each one of those, so they get their own bar number also. The county is working on setting those bar numbers as we speak, but I should have them by next Wednesday at our regular meeting. And those numbers in the categories are come strictly from the grants, the numbers in the proposed expense categories. And so the top number equals the bottom number in expenditures. So that's what the red, all the red is about. So as income goes, we are expecting budget-wise $2,435,788. This is an increase over last year's revised 2020 budget by $368,503, which is mainly all of the grant money. So that's the revenue portion. It's not as big as the EMS side, so that's why we have a simple budget as you looked at it. Anybody have any questions on the revenue part? No? Okay. We'll go down to the expenditures. I pretty much looked at things were taken from historical value last year. You know, we still have the same kind of electric expense, office supplies, things of that nature. I was able to adjust down some of the travel categories because with the COVID, we are not going to our conferences, the few that we do go to. So I adjusted those down a little bit. I left the $25,000 in miscellaneous expense. We also have $25,000 left in miscellaneous expense for 2020. So if any expenses come up, we still have something to draw from. And especially during this time of COVID and different things, I just like to have a larger miscellaneous expense in case something comes up that we can draw from. If you notice, if you go down to line 110, the Peace Health payment, that went up this year. So it's at $1,033,680. And that was up by about $13,000 from in 2020, and I adjusted that also in the revised 2020 budget. So that was probably the biggest increase on the budget. I also left some the larger expense in the computer software and computer licenses and that nature because we now have our fiber fully connected at the office. So we are getting much better internet with bandwidth and stability there. And so we'll be able to put some better peripheral things at that office so we can use that office also for more meetings and virtual things since it looks like we're going to continue this for a while longer. So that category, I just wanted to leave a little bit more in there so we could round out that equipment. Anybody have any questions on any expenditure line items?
I had a question about the independent contractor agreements. What does NWT stand for? It looks like we're proposing to increase that by 6,000, and I didn't know if that was NWT. I assume it's technology something.
That's Northwest Technology, and yes, that is the contractor that we use for our technical things, and they do EMS also, and that is part of that additional money for contracting with them to do the telephone conference line and some of those things that we are going to may have extra expense for in doing something for the PhD office or video or something there. And it's we pay a monthly contract fee to them once a month. And then they, in turn, keep up with all of our technology needs. And if we have something go down or we have questions, we can call them and they get right on it. And they just came over to EMS recently and helped put all the docking stations and get everybody on the same IT level, and that when we're at the PhD office and we were at the San Juan Island EMS office, it's seamless. You can call the PhD office and still get our phones here if we're here. So you don't have to look for us and try to figure out which office we might be in for the day. So that's who they are.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. And Commissioner, we should probably add that, you know, a lot of our licenses and things are rolled up in that VARS code. So it's not just what we pay for their service, but also, you know, our office licenses and all of that sort of thing too.
Yeah, and for the commissioners and the keeping of the license, because when a commissioner retires or goes off, we still have to keep their email and be able to get that for public records. So, yeah, all of those kind of licenses are in that too.
Okay. Thank you for that. And I see that there were anticipating legal expenses increasing above what we had budgeted for this year, which was already not insignificant, I guess I would say. And that increase from the $30,000 to $45,000 that we're budgeting, it looks like that's related to the public records request that we received, pretty decent sized one.
Yes, it is a very large public records request. So I just put more in there just in case, because that's just one, and so I don't know how many others for the year we'll have, and that one will take up a fair amount of expense to go through those records.
It seems likely we'd have some legal expenses related to some of this grant stuff and things too.
Okay.
Anything else? So that if you go to the very bottom, that makes our income and expenses the same as the county likes to have a zero balance budget. So it's $2,435,788 for income and expenses budgeted for 2021.
Okay. A quick question on the HRSA travel. If that doesn't occur, does that money just disappear? Or can that be turned into even technology money to do the remote traveling that people might do?
That we could ask for that if we don't get to go to that. It's a required meeting in Washington, D.C., usually once a year. That money can be... they call it a change request, and we can go back in and reallocate that money with our project director, person director. You can reallocate up to 25% of what you have in your budgeted categories, so without even having to have a change order. But
okay, sounds good. I imagine we'll be keeping an eye on some of that.
Yes,
next year.
Definitely. Yeah, we have two of them, and they both require this travel. So yeah, we will definitely have to watch that one.
Is that all of that travel expense, or is it also just inter-county expenses? I mean, inter-county travel as well.
It's also inter-county travel too. There's some in there for
and because there will be people, yeah, going yeah. to people's so, homes too, yeah. and all that yeah. mileage yep. and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, and then community health workers or whatever we're using for that category, people visiting either the different islands and out to patients and things. So there is travel money there too.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm not hearing anything more. Should we move on to the EMS budget?
Are we going to pass one at a time? Are we going to make a motion to pass this budget first, or do we do both at the same time?
I think that's next week, isn't it?
Next week,
oh,
yeah.
Well, that's right. We don't vote on it now. We just discuss it. Oh, I see.
First look at the budget and first look for the public to see the budget, and we'll talk about it again next week and have the approvals and the resolutions and tax levy certifications and those documents next week. Okay. So are you ready to move on to the San Juan Island EMS 2021 budget?
Sounds good.
Okay. This one is quite a bit longer, more bars with numbers, more different kind of categories. And the income, the proposed 2021 revenues are $3,753,594. There's a blue highlighting in the tax revenue for 2021, and this has an added $30,000 to account for 1% of the increase in budget, and $15,000 of new construction, which has been higher this year than in some past years. So that's what that includes. And then the down in IIMC reimbursements, that's line number 24 for PhD payroll. This number is mostly Hutchins and Butler's employment expenses, which is about $18,500 a month or $222,000 a year. And EMS reimburses the PhD about $20,000 a year for leadership under that administration chief bars code as a warrant. We just pay that back to them once a year.
Yeah, and that includes all of the employer taxes and stuff. I mean, if you pay someone $45,000 a year, that employee may still cost you $70,000 or $80,000. So that's mm-hmm. what explains those numbers.
And the, let's see, in line number 7, the GEMT money, it's estimated at $134,000, and that really is a minimum number because we're not sure, you know, we don't know for sure what that's going to come in at. They're late in reimbursing us for payments that are due this year, and we're working on our application and our getting it turned in by the end of November. And so that's kind of a minimum amount. We think that'll be larger. It's larger than that, but I'd rather just estimate low, and then if we get more, at least not overestimated.
That seems prudent to me. And if we do receive more, we can always put that into the reserves at the end of the year, because we are anticipating a pretty significant drop in that contribution next year. Mm-hmm. There, let's see. We didn't go quite as low on the ambulance aid car in that same way. It looks like we are projecting more next year than in our revised budget for this year. Why is that, I guess? And I know, by the way, I want to mention, thank you so much for putting in the notes in here. I know that we can see a lot of rationale for some of these numbers, for most of them, actually. And I know that must have taken a lot of work. So that's really helpful. Sometimes it doesn't quite get me quite there. And so that's, I guess, where my question is on this one.
All right. Let's see. We estimated 157,000. Well, September, we've got 267,000 with 3 months to go. So 30% rather than 32 to account for.
We're basically estimating an add of 20,000 or so due to raising our ALS rates. You would think that you would raise more from raising your ALS rates, but the actual number of people that affects is mostly your private pay, because Medicare and Medicaid aren't paying the full rate already. And then we're anticipating the second half of 2021 to be more normal, if normal is, I don't know how useful that term is, but we are anticipating that number of calls will increase some during the second half of the year. Historically, they've gone up 20% a year. This year during COVID, they went down 10%. So we're sort of assuming that we'll have somewhere in the range of 5 to 10% increase over the whole year. So we're kind of splitting the difference. So it's a hard thing to estimate, but basically it comes down to that ALS billing change, which doesn't really cost our patients at all, right? Because we don't bill anybody's coinsurance. And not only do we not bill coinsurance, we won't even bill you if you have a high deductible. We'll write that off if you're within the boundaries of our district and you've got a $2,500 deductible. We won't bill you for that. So it doesn't cost our patients at all. It's like a $150 increase, but it will mean some revenue. So that's where that comes from.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody have any questions on any of the other in the revenue portion? No? Okay.
No.
Okay, let's go down to the expenditures, which is a lot more board numbers than the revenue. A lot of explanations in those columns. And like the hospital district budget, it's a budget neutral budget. So the expenditures will be $3,753,594, like the revenue. We went and checked the what we had spent on the bar numbers through preparing the budget, and then we looked at increases in any of the contractors or the medical supplies seem to be going up the most percentage every year. And then this year, our health insurance coverage and benefits went up 11%. So we cover 100% of our employees' health coverage and 90% of the dependents. So that we had to increase. So those were the biggest percentage increases.
Yeah, It's a little confusing, but the admin, our BARS codes for the EMS are separated between departments. So there isn't just, you know, one wage line. You've got...
They're talking about raising...
Oops, someone's not muted.
Their ALS calls by $180.
That sounds like Bob Jarman.
It is. Hello, Bob Jarman. Good to hear from you.
Bob, I think you're not muted.
Oh, sorry about that.
No big deal. Sorry. I know it's confusing because you joined by default unmuted. Let's see.
We might want to change that around. I'm sure nobody's happy with that approach.
I don't think you can. I don't know how to change that, honestly. I looked at all the settings. Like, you can change settings so that there's no one that people aren't announced when they come and go. You can change settings so you don't enter the lobby automatically. I don't really see any setting to mute all as they join. I can look into that, though. There's got to be a way.
Well, maybe even just have it on the agenda, too, just so people know. And especially when you call in right on a phone, it's a very different experience. So it's nice to make sure everybody does as much as they can.
That's true.
As we've all experienced. Welcome, Commissioner Lindstrom. Hello.
Thank you. Sorry. It's been quite a day.
Understood.
Thanks, Kyle.
I will now officially hand over the...
I have no idea where you guys are at, so why don't you just keep at it?
Oh, no, we're not talking, really. I was just letting you know that if there is a reason for the chair to do anything, it's now yours again.
Oh, okay.
we just started. We talked about the revenue income from on the San Juan Island EMS budget, and we were just going down the expenditures for San Juan Island EMS, and Nathan was in the middle of explaining how the different departments have different all the expenses it captured in one place for certain things.
So you're going to see like 3 FICAs, 3 medical insurances, bars codes. So you've got the admin department, which is the 522.10.20 bars code, that series of codes. And that would have been Chief Kutzing, or whoever is the chief. And then it's got Pam, myself, Sally, but it does not have Peggy. Peggy's under outreach, the outreach bars codes. And we put the director of ops under ops, because there is a director of ops bars code. So these admin line items are going down pretty significantly because you're taking the chief off of those bars codes and moving it underneath ops. And then, of course, Pam and I are both on here, 10.10.007 and .0008, but those are essentially pass-throughs. They're on the expenditures, but there's a corresponding revenue bars code for IIMC reimbursements, where the district reimburses EMS. So anyway, I was just going to say that.